This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, as I mentioned earlier today, we continue my sermon series on 1 Corinthians, which is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a Christian congregation in the city of Corinth, a congregation that Paul himself founded. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian congregation because he had been informed by some of their members that false teachings and false teachers had caused divisions among them and were leading many of the members away from Christ and away from His Word. However, as we learned in last Sunday's sermon from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we believers have received everything that we truly need for life and salvation from Christ and His Word. Therefore, if we reject Christ and His Word in order to follow false teachers, that is not a minimal error. There are many people today who say, well, so what if I turn away from Christ and His Word? There's lots of other religions and philosophies out there. All of them lead to some kind of salvation, right? Wrong. Christ is the only way. His Word is the only truth regarding salvation. So, Paul is very concerned. If the people in Corinth turn away from Christ and His Word, they turn away from everything that gives them hope. You see, my friends, the devil tempts us to think that trusting in Jesus and being faithful to His Word is a waste of time. In fact, the devil says that trusting in Jesus and following Him actually keeps us from thinking the way we want to think. It keeps us from living the way we want to live. But the truth is that the lies of this world, as well as the sins that seem so pleasurable and so fulfilling at the time, my friends, all this eventually leads to suffering, death, and hell. Therefore, in today's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul warns the Corinthians that they should not go beyond what is written. In other words, what they believe and how they live should be based on Holy Scripture, as well as the teaching of Jesus that Paul had passed on to them in verbal form. But sadly, many of them had been misled by appealing teachings. Appealing teachings that were in conflict with Holy Scripture, as well as the teaching of Jesus that Paul had handed on to them. My friends, do you see how relevant this is for our lives today? Many in our culture twist the true meaning of Scripture, or they ignore it altogether. Why? So they can believe what they want to believe and live the way they want to live. And the devil tempts us to do the same thing. We are tempted to do the same thing whenever we consider believing or living in ways that Scripture condemns. So with that in mind, let's examine today's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul begins with these words. So then, men ought to regard us, the apostles, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Now, what is Paul saying here? Simply put, Paul stresses that he and the other apostles are servants of Christ, chosen by Christ Himself to proclaim God's wisdom to a world that does not have any knowledge of it. That's what Paul means when he says we've been entrusted with the secret things of God. By nature, the world is clueless about the wisdom of God. The only way the world can know about it is if those who have been entrusted with God's Word bring it to them. Therefore, Paul stresses that he and the other apostles must teach God's Word faithfully, whether people like it or not. And sadly, many people did not like the pure teaching of God's Word. As a result, people started saying bad things about Paul and his motives. They couldn't refute his teaching. They couldn't say anything bad about the way he was living. So they started to say bad things about his motives. You know, that's something that we see going on a lot today. If somebody can't refute somebody else's teaching, well, then you simply attack the person and assume the worst of his or her motives. However, Paul says that he really doesn't care what they think of him as long as he is being faithful to God's word. That's what matters. Even more, Paul says that he doesn't even judge himself. What does he mean? Well, what he means is that it is not our opinions of ourselves that matter in the end. You see, what matters in the end is what God thinks of you. So just because you think that what you teach is fine, and just because you think that how you live is fine, that doesn't mean it is. There are many people out there in the world today who teach things in direct conflict with the Bible, but they think what they're teaching is just fine. Their conscience is clear. There are people out there who live in sinful ways in direct conflict with the Bible, but as far as they're concerned, what they're doing is just fine. It's not wrong. Their conscience is clear. What Paul is saying is, you know, I don't even judge myself. I don't affirm myself. God is the one who decides whether I am righteous or sinful. That's Paul's point. In the end, the only opinion that matters is God's opinion. With that in mind, Paul goes on to say this: therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Now, what's Paul saying here? Well, first of all, let me show you how some people misinterpret what Paul is saying. Some wrongly think that Paul is saying that we should never ever condemn anyone for what they believe. We should never ever judge anybody for how they live. Instead, we should hold all beliefs and all behaviors as equally valid. Really? Is that what Paul is saying? Hardly. All you have to do is read the Bible, and you will discover all over the place that God wants us to use His Word here and now in the present to discern between true and false teaching and between godly and sinful behavior. In fact, remember our first and second set of readings which you heard earlier in this service? We heard from Jesus Himself, as well as from the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, that we should use God's Word to rebuke people when they are involved in false teaching or sinful living. Why? So that they might repent, trust in Jesus for forgiveness, and live a new life. Now, of course, there are people today who would hear me say this and would disagree with me, and they would even attempt to quote Jesus to show me that I'm wrong. They would say, "Pastor, how can you say we should tell people that they're teaching falsely? How can you say we should tell people that they're sinning? Don't you know, Pastor, that Jesus Himself said, 'Judge not, and you will not be judged'?" You know, when I meet people in our culture, more and more I find out that people are biblically illiterate. They don't know the Bible at all, but there's usually one verse they do know, and that's, "Judge not and you will not be judged." But what did Jesus mean? You see, they fail to understand two things about Jesus' teaching. First of all, did you notice that the same Jesus who said, "Judge not and you will not be judged," the same Jesus also said, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him"? Secondly, what did Jesus mean when he said, "Judge not and you will not be judged"? Well, if you look at the context where it comes from, Jesus is condemning sinful judging. He's condemning people who refuse to see their own sins and who judge people not with God's word, but with human opinions and standards. That's the kind of judging Jesus is condemning. But if you study the Bible, it's very clear that we are to engage in righteous judging. You judge righteously, first of all, when you see your own sin first. When you recognize that you're a sinner and you trust in Jesus as your Savior. Then you're in a position to witness to others. And when you do witness to others, you do not impose upon them human standards or your own personal opinions, no. Instead, you simply proclaim the truth of God's Word and you let God judge them. So when people today say, how dare you judge me for teaching what you think is false teaching? Or how dare you tell me that the way I'm living is sinful? My response is, I'm not telling you that. I'm just God's messenger. It's Scripture that says you're teaching falsely. It's God Himself who says you're out of line and are living in rebellion against His will. I'm just His messenger. And by the way, I'm a sinner just like you. I'm not pretending to be better than you. I need Jesus' forgiveness as much as anybody. But I am telling you that as long as you teach falsely and refuse to repent, as long as you continue to sin and refuse to turn from it and trust in Jesus, you're on your way to hell. And I would not love you if I didn't tell you that. All over the place in Scripture, God says we are to do that as Christians. The readings I shared with you are just a few examples of that. So with that understood, we must recognize that Holy Scripture clearly teaches that we are to use God's Word to correct, rebuke, and teach. But more than anything, we are to use God's Word to point people to Jesus. Because once people recognize their sin, once people realize they have taught falsely or they have lived sinfully and deserve God's wrath, then they crave hope, they crave salvation. And thanks be to God, we can point them to the Savior of all sinners. God's Son who died on the cross in our place of damnation that we might be forgiven and welcomed into God's arms and live a new life. Therefore, when Paul says that we should judge nothing before the appointed time, what he means is that we should not judge the motives of men's hearts, because only God can judge the heart. I can't look into your heart and figure out what's going on, and you can't look into mine. Only God can do that. That's Paul's point. So rather than dealing with Paul based on what he taught, or rather than dealing with Paul based on how he lived, you know what the false teachers in Corinth were doing? Because they couldn't refute Paul's teaching, because they couldn't say anything bad about the way he was living, they tried to make him look bad by assuming that his motives were evil. They were trying to play God. So Paul warns them and us that we should not arrogantly try to play God by judging the motives of other people's hearts. Only God knows the motives of people's hearts, and those motives will be revealed on the final day. However, having said that, we can and we must use God's Word to judge what people teach and to judge how people live, because we can hear and we can see those things. And so we must use God's Word to discern between true and false teaching and between godly and sinful living. With that said, Paul goes on to say this. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, "Do not go beyond what is written." Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. Here, Paul is stressing that they should not believe him simply because he's Paul. Instead, they should believe Paul because what he preaches is in harmony with God's word and the teaching of Christ. So that means if Paul would ever start teaching something that is in conflict with Holy Scripture, they should not believe him. If Paul would ever change the teaching of Jesus that Jesus himself had given him, they should not listen to him any longer. In fact, Paul talks about this in his letter to the Galatian Christians. Listen to what he says to them. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if I, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one I preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Wow. Here Paul is saying, even if I start teaching falsely, even if I turn away from the teaching that Jesus gave me, I would be deserving of hell. That's what Paul is saying. Paul then goes on to say the following. He says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Here Paul reminds them and us that the only way we can have the truth of God's word is for God to give it to us. And how has God given us his truth? Holy Scripture. God has given us Holy Scripture. My friends, that's why it's so important for you to be in church on a regular basis to hear God's word. That's why you should take advantage of the opportunities you have at this congregation to study God's word more thoroughly in Sunday Bible class or Bible classes we offer during the week. That's why you should take time to study Scripture on your own. And if you have questions, come to me. That's why I'm here. The point is, the only way we can know God's truth is from His Word. But if we're not studying His Word, we can't know God's truth. So we need to be into the Word. Not only do we need to be into the Word so that we might be strong in our faith and have the ability to ward off false teaching, but we also need to be strong in the Word so we can be equipped to be articulate witnesses in the world today, because the people out there who don't know the truth can't know the truth unless God uses someone to bring it to them. And that's one reason this congregation exists. But sadly, the Corinthians had rejected what God had given them. And they were seeking after worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom that appealed to their sinful way of thinking and also that justified the sinful ways they wanted to live. Well, Paul then goes on to actually mock them. Remember that part of the reading where he says, "Oh, we are so foolish, but you are so wise. We are so weak, but you are so strong." Paul's actually being sarcastic. Apparently, some of the false teachers in Corinth were using the false teaching to actually justify things like materialistic greed, selfishness, sexual promiscuity. They had distorted the gospel into a license for self-centeredness and greed and sin. And the Corinthians had foolishly embraced these things, and as a result, they thought they had it made. They thought they were on top of the world, but they had been deceived. Sound familiar? Still today, in our culture, the devil tempts us to reject God's word. Why? So that we can justify various sins. So we can justify our greed, our materialism, our selfishness, our sexual immorality, you name it. The devil deceives us into thinking that if we just fulfill the desires of our sinful nature, we will be happy and popular and prosperous. But remember what Jesus says? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? So that's why Jesus teaches us who have been forgiven that we must daily repent of our evil ways of thinking and living. We must daily repent and know that we have everything we need in Jesus. Not only has He forgiven all our sins, but He has given us His truth so that we might know who God is and what it means for us to be His children. Now, having said all that, we need to understand something. When we teach God's Word faithfully, and when we strive to live according to God's word, we risk facing mockery and persecution from the unbelievers of this world. You see, when Paul first witnessed to the Corinthians, the whole city was unbelievers, remember? When Paul first witnessed to them, he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He just told them the truth. He said, first of all, you're sinners who deserve to go to hell, and so do I. But secondly, the one true God, not all these false idols that you worship, but the one true God who made the world, the one true God whom we rejected, He loved us so much that He sent His Son into the world to take your sin and mine to the cross, and there He suffered the damnation that should have been ours so that we might be forgiven and have a new life with God. Now, after some people were moved to repent and trust in Christ, Paul was also honest with them. He says, you know what? Here you are, a handful of believers, and you live in a city populated primarily by unbelievers. They're going to think you're foolish. They're going to think you're weird. In fact, they might mock you. They might persecute you. Some of them might even try to kill you. How different that is from some TV preachers today who say, hey, if you just follow God's principles of prosperity, you can be healthy and prosperous and everything will go your way. They take the gospel of Christ and they turn it into a mechanism for self-improvement and earthly prosperity, rather than being what God intended the gospel to be, a message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So Paul tells the Corinthians, look at how we apostles have had to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Whereas your false teachers, they're just telling you what they want, what you want to hear, so they can fill their pockets with your money. But look at us. We have given you the truth and we're suffering greatly for it. In our reading, Paul goes on to list all the ways that he and the other apostles had to suffer simply because they were being faithful to God's word. But you know what? Paul says it's worth it. It's worth it because it's a privilege to suffer for Jesus who died on the cross for us. It's a privilege to suffer for Jesus who has forgiven all of our sins. It's a privilege to suffer for Jesus who conquered death for us so that when we face death, we know that we face death with the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life. You know, I think of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ around the world right now. Fellow Christians who are being persecuted and even killed because they refuse to reject Christ. What a rebuke to us American Christians. We have American Christians who can't even make the effort to come to church on a regular basis, but over across the ocean we have Christians who would rather die than reject Christ. What a call to repentance for us in America. Our brothers and sisters in Christ in some of these Islamic nations, all they would have to do is renounce Jesus and confess Allah and their lives would be spared. But many of them refuse. They would rather face suffering and death than reject the one who loved them enough to die on the cross for them. What a witness and an inspiration to us. Finally, Paul ends today's reading by reminding the Corinthians that even though he has spoken very harshly to them, even though he has rebuked them sternly, he did it because he loves them like a father. You know, many people today think that if you love somebody, then you never ever tell them they're wrong and you always affirm what they do. My friends, that's not love. True love is willing to confront a person when he or she has strayed from the truth of God's word. Paul wrote this letter in the hope that the Corinthians would repent and seek God's mercy in Christ. Paul hopes and he prays that they will respond in this way when they hear his letter, so that when he comes there, he doesn't have to continue to rebuke them. He writes this letter first in the hope they will repent so that when he comes there, he can simply tell them, you are forgiven. Now let's start over with Jesus. In the same way, whenever we hear God's word proclaimed to us, sometimes God is hard on us. Sometimes he exposes the sins in our lives and he lets us know we deserve hell because of it. But God only does this because he loves us. As the Heavenly Father He is. God brings us down only so He can lift us up. God knows as long as we're embracing false teaching, as long as we're celebrating our sin and rebellion against Him, we cannot be forgiven. So God humbles us, He shows us the truth, and then when we are broken, He leads us to Jesus. Jesus, who was broken on the cross for us in our place of damnation, that we might be forgiven and receive God's love and mercy and live now and forever as His dearly loved children. My friends, the good news I have for you today is that you can come to God with all your sinful ways of thinking, with all your sinful ways of living, and you can know that you are completely forgiven because of what Jesus has done for you. In addition, you can know that you have the certain hope of eternal life in God's love because Jesus has conquered death for you. That's what gives us hope to be faithful to Jesus in a culture where, I'm afraid, in the very near future, we will be persecuted for being faithful to Jesus. My friends, Paul tells the Corinthians, do not go beyond what is written. The same thing applies to us. We are not to go beyond what is written. All we need is God's Word. When we stray from it, we're in great spiritual danger. So we should not go beyond what is written. Not only does the Scripture show us our sin so that we can turn from it, but more than anything, the Bible points us to Jesus, the only true God and Savior who can redeem us. So that is why we do not go beyond what is written. Jesus died for us. He rose for us. And He points us to Holy Scripture as the witness that leads us to Him. That is why we do not go beyond what is written. Because the Scriptures point us to Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.